just wanna live. Never fear, people always talk other shit. So please leave me alone. I don't care. Leave me to my own. What I did.
Hello and welcome to episode 37. What Girls Group, the podcast where we celebrate Black girl magic with a
squeeze.
Jesus. And I'm Dee Dee. I go by Dust Daughter on Twitter.
And I'm Inda. I go by Inda's Corner on Twitter.
And she's the loud, high-pitched part of the squiddy. I'm holding down the bass. Called Alta. you can contact us a lot of ways. We're on Twitter at Black Girl Squee. We just gave you our individual Twitters. We're on Tumblr at Black Girl Squee. Our email is blackgirlsquee@tumblr@gmail.com. So you see the pattern here. Just search Black Girl Squee. You'll probably find us. I hope. I hope you don't find who knows what. Anyway, we're also on iTunes, and we'd love it if you search for us there and gave us a 5-star review. We'd love to read it on the show. You can also find all of our episodes on blackgirlsquee.simplecast.fm. We have two other shows that are also on the feed, Ratchet Research and a new podcast, Missives from the Underground, all about underground underground on WGN. So another place to find us is on Patreon. We're trying to get this money.
We trying to survive, y'all.
Basically, and it costs time and money to make this great content for y'all. So basically pay up, and we're gonna link to both Inda's Patreon, because she also gives y'all the Black Swan Chronicles 2 years running for the free, but it can't be free no more because this Black Girl Magic ain't free. This Black Girl Magic ain't free. It ain't free no more. So we're going to link those up to you. So if you want more Black Girl Squee, please consider donating. And last housekeeping notes are that we have a spoiler policy. If we talk about TV or movies, we're probably going to spoil something. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to go back and edit it out, because that's not how I want to live my life. And we also cuss a lot.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And we talk about dick.
Yes.
So if any of that is not your cup of tea, then you know, we'll holler at y'all later. We also squee loud and often, and more than me. So adjust your volume accordingly. And now that we've gotten through all of that, let's get to our squee worthy news. Wait, hold up.
Oh my god, you gotta.
Yeah!
Oh my god, I thought you had a fanfare for a second.
No.
Oh lord.
You know, I gotta go back to my drums. I think I hear a drum.
Oh god.
I'm gonna have to edit that shit out. Chewing gum. Season 2 is coming to Netflix April 4th.
Yay!
So it's already aired in the UK, so they've gotten all the Michaela Cole goodness for season 2. And now it's coming to the U.S. And Michaela's also going to be in a new version of a play called Been So Long.
Yes.
It's written, co-written by Arthur Darvill, who was well-known for being on Doctor Who and now is on Legends of Tomorrow. And in the first incarnation, it included Omar Lifook, who is, you know, a famous musician, kind of in the, what did they call it? Some sort of weird jazz name. Anyways, it was back, the height of his career was in the 90s with UK soul, that made by black people, had a really big boom around the time of like Misha Paris and stuff like that. But
the only name I think of is Brit Soul.
Yeah, but there was some other name they called it, and it was weird. But
yeah, I don't know.
Acid jazz, thank you.
Oh, that's British.
That was gonna. Well, I don't know if it was.
Well, I know it's associated.
British, but they called his music acid jazz.
Yeah, I know they associate that with Brand New Heavies. That's the only. I mean, they were a British group, but.
So, yeah, so congrats to Michaela Cole. Get that money, girl.
Yay.
And looking forward to seeing season two.
Yep.
So to Michaela Cole, we give a...
Squeeze! Okay. Next, Nancy, I hope I say her name correctly. Nancy Abu
Bansra
is... going to be the first black female neurosurgery resident at Johns Hopkins Hospital. I can't even say Johns Hopkins Hospital. Wow. Okay. So she moved to the U.S. from Ghana with her parents when she was 15. And she's going to be the first in her family to become a physician. Mm-hmm. So there's a bit more information about her here. Her husband is a third-year medical student at University of Maryland, I believe that is. Yeah. And she says, I hope to be able to go back to Ghana over the course of my career to help in building sustainable surgical infrastructure. I will be matching into neurosurgery, a field that I am greatly enamored with, and hope to utilize those skills in advancing global surgical care. You go, girl.
So to Nancy Abu Bansra, we give the biggest squeeze. But also, shame on you, Johns Hopkins. It's 2017.
Yeah. Wow.
Whatever. Lord, all these firsts in 20 goddamn 17.
I know.
Goddamn shame. Moving on, Renee Elise Goldsberry will play Misty Holloway in part two of The Get Down. And I don't think I was ever aware of this before. I mean, I knew she was going to be in Henrietta Lacks.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, they talked about her a lot in the first part of The Get Down, but
I don't know
we never saw her.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't even know if she was cast before they started shooting the.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Because I'm like, they couldn't have been, because I'm pretty sure they would have mentioned it before, because it's Renee Goldsberry.
Yeah. She's probably still doing Hamilton when they first shot The
Yeah,
Get Down.
Could've. Well, I don't know. David did. Yeah, but he only did short scenes. So he could have filmed around Hamilton. I don't know.
So, if y'all are fans of The Get Down, you know that Misty Holloway is the disco queen that is the idol of Mylene Cruz, played by Harrison Guardiola. And she was mentioned throughout the first part of The Get Down. I remember Zeke had a adventure trying to track down a rare record of Misty Holloway's for Mylene. So now we get to see her. And according to this article by Shadow and Act, the character is likely influenced by any number of real-life disco singers, from Donna Summer to Evelyn Champagne King and others, who all had big hits during the popular disco era.
Yeah.
This is going to be exciting.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I just can't wait to see part two of the Get Down.
I know, right? But I'm like, you got Renee Goldsberry in it now, so I'm like, that's going to be a binge.
Yeah.
That's going to be a first day binge, even if I have to do it overnight.
Yeah, Netflix might break.
Again, I noticed that they only break with black shows. Okay, but
it ain't tricking if you got it. So to Renee Elise Goldsberry, we give a big
Okay. In case you haven't heard, Shadow and Act includes a story about VH1 airing a documentary called All Jokes Aside, and it is celebrating black women in comedy. And so it says, to celebrate Black Women in Comedy Week, wow, I didn't even know that was a thing, VH1 has released a new documentary called All Jokes Aside, which follows leading comedians including Tashina Arnold, Amanda Seales, Lin-Well, Tiffany Haddish, Yvonne Orji, and more as they share the ups and downs of being comedians who also happen to be black women. Wow. So, it says, from racism, sexism, the lack of representation and opportunity, and other obstacles, viewers discover what makes their lives as black comedians tough work. And wow, that sounds actually really interesting, because VH1 is actually pretty good with documentaries.
And if you scroll down, they actually include the documentary. It's short. It's about like 20 minutes or so in the article. So you can watch it on Shadow and Act site, or if you have VH1, you can watch it there.
Yeah. You just have to go to commercials.
So to all of these wonderful black comedians, we give a so again from Shadow and Act, Lord, this is three in a row.
Yeah. You can
give
tell
us some coins.
We go through Shadow and Act a lot.
Yeah, I rely on them, and love it if they gave us some monies. Anyway. So again from Shadow and Act, they inform us that there are not one but two Angela Davis biopics in development. However, the leads are yet to be cast. There were rumors that Halle Berry was trying to push through a biopic. She really loves the story of Angela Davis. There was another that was rumored to involve Beyonce. I swear they want to put Beyonce in every black movie rumor. But those didn't work out. Those just turned out to be nothing but rumor. But now we have two actual factual biopics in development. One is unauthorized and is scripted, so not a documentary. And it's written by LaToya Morgan, who is behind Shameless. And Morgan sold an Angela Davis script to a film production company called The Firm. But there haven't been any other details made known about that project. So that's biopic one. Biopic two is an authorized Angela Davis biopic from Lionsgate and Cold Black Films, and they acquired the movie rights to Angela Davis, an autobiography. So this is legit. with plans to develop and produce an authorized Angela Davis biopic that's going to be executive produced by Forrest Whitaker. And also produced by Nina Yang Bongiovi, who worked on Fruitvale Station and Dope. So she's got some good credits behind her. So I'm very excited to see what comes out of that second project.
Yep. All right. And is there also, Okay. Yeah, I was just looking at an informal poll about who they wanted to play Angela, and like, I'm sorry, but I think Amira Vann would be my first choice in all this. She came in third on that poll, but she would, especially after this episode of Underground, she would be my first choice for that. Maybe Sally Richardson would fill it after that.
So who is she behind?
Tandy Newton and an unknown actress. I mean, I can understand an unknown actress, but Tandy Newton, I like her, but
I don't want to have part 3011 of the Diaspora Wars again.
Can exactly. We do that? Yeah.
Can we just for this once?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, thing is, I can see Amira Vann just working the hell out of that role.
Oh, Jesus. She would eat that for lunch. That, oh God.
Yeah.
Ooh. Anyway. Yeah. But we need Amira or somebody on her caliber of talent to play Angela Davis.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, Amira would throw herself into the role. Look. That, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Cast her, please. Angela Davis is going to be involved in the second project, and also serving as executive producer along with her niece, Aisa Davis, who's writing that script. So, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm throwing all of my support behind project number two.
Yeah. Yeah. But, by the way, if you don't know who Aisa Davis is, she is also an actor. She played Bub's sister in The Wire, and she's also in this really good predominantly Asian film, Robot Stories. She's she plays the wife to a character named John. And so he's played in two different incarnations by Saab Shimono and Tim Kong. And there's a story about how she was cast, but I just say, anyway, just... that's something you should watch with her in it.
All right. So to Angela Davis and all of these great biopics being made about her, we give a big squeeze. Because we definitely need more biopics about
Black women. Especially our prominent Black women figures who are doing the work and just don't get the acknowledgement of their male counterparts.
Never get the credit. And you can't say that we're not bankable now, because Hidden Figures showed your ass.
Yep, exactly.
So make our movies. I want Zora.
Yeah.
We want Eartha Kitt. We want a lot of stuff.
Yes. Okay.
Wait. Why did I think this was mine? Okay.
Got excited about it, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, our next item, if you go to the Chicago Reader, there is a story there called The Future is Female, So How Do We Get There? This features, there's actually a video on the page too. It features, if you know who Carnithia is on Twitter, her name is Mickey Kendall. She's one of the women here. It is a 2-hour conversation between four women about feminism and intersectionality. And you actually put it's Mickey Kendall, Samina Mustafa, and Claudia Garcia Rojas, and a white woman.
Whatever, you know I ain't shit. But
honestly, but no, you got a point. I mean, we can have these forms on feminism without white women. I mean, it's been done, and it's been done very well. So I don't see why you just have to throw one in when you were doing so well.
Oh, wow.
You know, with the women of color here.
Basically.
Okay. Okay, but, yeah. And so, going on here, since the very beginning, feminism in America has looked a lot like able-bodied, cisgender white women standing up for their rights while either remaining oblivious to all other women or noting their presence only to make sure they knew their place in the movement, bringing up the rear. Which is interesting because I swear, Black and Native women were actually the first feminists in this country.
That's one of the points that's made later on in this article. This is,
yep.
It's a long article, but it's really good.
Yes. Okay. But, it says here, Alice Walker argued there needs to be womanism, which embraces everyone. Traditional feminism looked down on it or excluded. Other women have found other ways to adapt their personal feminism to their own particular circumstances. Kimberly Crenshaw, UCLA, law professor, compared this to navigating a crowded intersection where women have to choose between different allegiances to different identities. Asking, do you stand with gender, with your race? What if those two groups are in conflict? What do you do then? And so these women, they have some things to say about this in some answers. Miki Kendall, she says, so if you want to see more voices talking about the thing that's important to you, you're going to have to raise your voice. You can't wait for anyone else to speak. And Ms. Garcia Rojas, she says, I think it's important for people to just pick an issue or two to work on and to focus on that, because we can't spread ourselves thin and do everything. And not every issue is going to call out to us in the same way. White people need to be more organizing, more than ever, and talking to other white people more than ever. And that might mean that at certain times we're going to be in similar spaces talking to each other. But I also think that it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to talk to each other. Wow.
Thank you. I feel free. Basically, I think that was a really polite way of saying white people do the work.
Yeah. And also know when to step aside. Also know when to stay in your lane.
Oh, Lord Jesus. And stop. We're not Google. Stop looking at us to be Google.
Yeah.
Use Google and let us go about our business. We have shit to do.
Yep. Okay.
So,
she also, goes on. So now whenever I teach about feminism at Northwestern, I tell my students, feminism was not something that white women made. It's something that indigenous and black women, women of color, gave white women.
Pause. I just need to party, because that truth, that's good.
Yes.
That's good.
Yes.
Can we say it one more time?
Feminism was not something that white women made. It's something that indigenous and black women, women of color, gave white women.
Hold on.
Oh my god.
that's so good.
Okay. No, go ahead. That's fine. Because if we look at the history of the work the black women have done, the work that indigenous women have done, and you look at the politic that they engage in, eradicating and abolishing slavery, abolishing different oppressions of women not being able to work and get paid, those are all things that women of color have always championed.
Oh! Say it for the cheap seats. Yes.
Because if we look at the history of the work the black women have done, the work that indigenous women have done, and you look at the politic that they engage in, eradicating and abolishing slavery, abolishing different oppressions of women not being able to work and get paid, those are all things that women of color have always championed.
Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. White people just put fancy names on it and then claimed it as theirs. Okay. Ah, so that's just a taste. There's a lot more in this conversation, obviously, is like 2 hours. So,
yeah.
And, Mickey Kendall is always going to serve.
Yeah. Yeah.
All of the facts.
Yeah.
All the facts straight with no chaser. And this was a very Chicago oriented, conversation. All of the women included are from Chicago.
Yes.
They talk about all the different things they've learned in the different sections of Chicago and, with different, and dealing with all the different intersections that they have, within race and class and, sexuality and things like that. So really a fascinating article and, one that, you know, everybody who's been, radicalized or who just got woke after the election or the Women's March.
Yeah.
Read this shit. Read it. So to Mickey Kendall, to Claudia Garcia Rojas, to Samina Mustafa and the white woman, we get...
Shit.
I know.
But wait a minute, though. Wait. Because, look, her thing is she organizes a spoken word series, Slut Talk and Feminist Happy Hour. Claudia Garcia Rojas is a co-director of a task force on violence against girls and young women. And this isn't to put, down like, you know, spoken word stuff, because I like spoken word or you know, whatever feminist happy hour is. But I'm like, look at the work they're doing.
Yeah.
And, okay.
Claudia Garcia Rojas is getting a damn PhD in African American studies. Come on now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
See, you ain't shit either because you still ain't named a white woman. But,
go read the article and find out.
To all the women in the panel, we give a
That was all four of them, by the way. We're not that mean.
Okay.
We're not that mean.
We are?
No.
Okay. You aren't.
Okay.
I am. I'm mean and petty. Yeah, you can direct all your hate at this daughter, because I don't give a fuck and I will block you anyway. Moving on. 41 Women of Color Get Real About Beauty and Diversity. So for the April cover story, Allure magazine asked 41 women of color to tell the story of their lives through their skin. So they talked to actors, they talked to content creators on YouTube, they talked to dermatologists even. They talked to a wide range of people, models. They talked to Beth Ann Hardison, who is just like a legend in the fashion industry, as far as trying to diversify the core of models that you see on the runways and in magazines and so forth. I just wanted to highlight some of the quotes that I found really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Dasha Polanco, who's an actor that you see on Orange is the New Black, she said, "It's very difficult to get foundation that matches my skin. And I'm all for the contouring stuff, but I like to look like myself. I don't have a thin nose. You can see my African features, so I like to embrace these things as opposed to covering them." So, shout out to her for, owning her Afro Latinx self and her features. This one made me laugh. Grace Lee, who is a makeup artist, said more makeup artists now know how to do Asian eyes. The fake crease thing drives me to drink. Our eyes have monolids. They're flat. Why are you trying to make us look like white people? Go ahead, girl. Speak on it. Oh, I don't want that to drive her to drink, but
yeah.
She's over it. She is so over it. Lily Singh, who creates content on YouTube, said that the last time someone made me feel bad about my skin would be every single comment I get about my face makeup not matching my neck. It's something I get on YouTube. Maybe if foundation matched my skin tone, haters would slow they roll.
Yeah, because I know some women, like, to do their foundation, they have to, like, mix and match a lot of different foundations and stuff until they come up with something that looks like, you know, their actual skin color.
You shouldn't have to.
Yeah.
Not in the year of our Lord 2017.
I know. I'm like, man.
Still.
I know that's struggle. Something that a lot of models have talked about. They had to actually make their own shit while everybody else had shit ready for them, you know, when they went to a shoot or whatever.
And this is just two people so far already, and they're not even... they're pretty light-skinned when you compare to some of the other models that are later in this article.
Yep.
So if they're complaining, then you know it ain't right for dark-skinned women.
Yep.
And then this is the one that broke my heart. Naomi King, actress. You know her from How to Get Away with Murder. She said, "I was afraid of the darkness of my skin. I believed I had to be celebrated for my intelligence and my sense of humor. Those could be the beautiful things about me, since my skin couldn't."
Wow.
And she went on, and you know, she got teased. She didn't want to be teased for it, you know, not showing up in a photo in a dark room, or, you know, she didn't want to stand against a dark wall and have people say, "Oh, we can't see you. We can't find you." I'm like,
wow.
This woman is beautiful. She is absolutely gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't even think she was beautiful. Like, this is how pervasive and painful colorism is. Like, really? Asian Naomi King? Really?
Yep.
You stand her next to any of these Hollywood it girls that are interchangeable and that I wouldn't recognize on the back of a milk carton.
Yep.
She outshines them all.
Mm-hmm.
And yet colorism had her believing that her skin couldn't be beautiful. Ooh. Ooh. So yeah, that took me out. Misha Green, who is co-creator and executive producer of my favorite show, WGN's Underground. She said, "I've been asked what I'm mixed with too many times to count, and each time I am met with skepticism when I reply that I am black. I continue by informing the misinformed. The African diaspora comes in many hues. All of them are beautiful."
Yep.
That's really ugly. Like, that idea that you gotta be mixed with something to be beautiful.
Yeah.
White supremacy is so ugly. And last is Kudia Jo, who is a model. I love what she says, because she says, "My skin is dark and glows. It almost seems blue, and it's super soft. made me think about in Moonlight, black boys look blue.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, so do black girls. I realized my color is beautiful when I got out of my country, Senegal. I was in Italy on vacation, and I saw my reflection in the mirror. I saw how unique my skin was and why people stopped me on the street to ask about it. I started falling in love with it. So that's beautiful. And, yeah, that's just beautiful.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that the article kind of ends on that positive note.
Exactly.
So, but those are just a few of the women that talked to. But please go to Allura.com to read the rest of the story, and because it's really interesting about the things that the dermatologists say about how, because of the melanin that women of color have, they age differently than white women. We don't wrinkle. There's more like sagging and stuff like that, because of the added melanin that we have. But we're still, you know, we still have, we're still prone to skin cancer because, you know, people don't think that. People think that melanin protects us from that, and no, it doesn't.
No.
So, yeah, please read that and get all the information straight from the dermatologist's mouth. So, to this wonderful story and all the wonderful women of color that were a part of it, we give a big So, now we move on to our main topic, which, if you've been on social media at all this week, then you know what it is.
Yes.
We're talking about missing DC girls. Again, if you've been on Twitter at all, then you've seen, tweets, a number of them, you know, just asking to share the information, because another girl has gone missing, and most of them are black or brown girls.
Mm-hmm.
There also have been some boys missing too. Mainly of color. You're not seeing them on the news, but you are seeing them on social media.
Yes.
So the hashtag Missing DC Girls was created because it's wild how many of them are missing from this area.
Yeah.
And recently there was a town hall meeting held at a charter school in Southeast DC, which was hosted by a council member from Ward 8, which includes Southeast DC. And basically, this forum was a place to discuss what's going on and what's being done to cut down the number of missing children in the district. There's a real problem with runaways in the city,
mm-hmm.
and as many point out, those girls are either running away from something or towards something. And one of the guests was Interim Police Chief Peter Newsham, who, you know, Black Twitter is going to investigate, and they found some issues with him. You know, there are allegations about misconduct against trans officers. There's other allegations about police brutality.
Mm-hmm.
He's not looking to be a good fit for police chief. But hey, most of the people in the current White House administration aren't a fit for anything,
basically,
in government, and they still got jobs. And speaking of the administration, the Congressional Black Caucus recently asked the Justice Department to help police find missing DC girls. Just a reminder, Jeff Sessions, who has ties to the KKK, who Coretta Scott King warned against in her letter that that Congress wouldn't even let her read at the hearing. He's the Attorney General now. He's not listening. He doesn't care. Yeah. The District of Columbia logged 501 cases of missing juveniles, many of them Black or Latino, in the first 3 months of this year. And that's a lot. There are concerns about human trafficking being a factor because these missing children are coming from homeless shelters, they're from foster homes, from, you know, all these different places where children are, you know, most vulnerable.
Yeah.
And according to the National Crime Information Center, there were 170,899 missing Black children under 18 in the United States.
Say the number again, because for the longest, for the past 10 years or so, that they kept consistently saying the number 64,000, but what's the actual number now?
170,899. That's 170,899.
Wow.
So, and it's less than, it's a lot. But I think it's second only to the number of white children missing.
Yeah.
So D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser creates a task force on missing children after public outcry. She announced this Friday, that the city will dedicate more resources to city children who go missing. And the press and the police are making a big deal that the number of missing children has decreased, actually, statistically speaking, and that you know, this recent outrage is because they've been posting more of the pictures on Twitter to try to get, you know, people to find them or whatever. That's not something I give a shit about. I don't care if it's the number has gone down from like 2,700 to 2,600. That's not
exactly
statistically, that's not even statistically significant. And either way, I don't give a fuck.
And these kids are still missing.
Yeah.
The point is, these kids are gone.
Y'all want to play a numbers game or do semantics and stuff like that and just blame social media. Instead of doing that, why don't you do your fucking job and find these girls? How about that? So Mayor Bowser says she will increase the number of police officers assigned to find missing children and establish a task force to determine what social services teenagers who run away need to stabilize their home lives. Because that's another thing. The mayor and her spokesperson are blaming the large number of missing children in the district to runaways and repeat runaways from foster homes.
But I'm okay. Like,
okay.
Even if this is true, don't you still need to find them and find out why the hell they ran away?
Thank you. That's the question. Okay, great. Okay, yeah, let's say all of them are runaways. And all of them are repeat runaways. Then somebody in the foster home system is falling the fuck off down on the job.
Thank you. I mean,
so these girls don't feel safe. They'd rather be who knows where instead of in these foster homes. So the system is failing them. Yep. Do something. Also, fire that spokesman. He sounds really callous. He said, oftentimes, these girls are repeat runaways. So if we really want to help solve this problem and bring down the numbers, we have to break the cycle of young people, especially young girls, who repeatedly run away from home. Bitch.
Yeah. They really resent the fact
that... Why are they running?
Thank you. These people really resent the fact that we're actually part of the people they're supposed to protect and serve. They don't want to. They really resent this shit.
Yeah, that they have to do their job even for us.
Yes, I mean,
we pay their salary too.
We mostly pay their salary because we're the ones paying the taxes and. Because Lord knows these people that you...
It's not the president.
No, it is not.
Lord Jesus. Cortland Malloy had a good piece in the Washington Post recently called Black Teens Are Reported Missing and Far Too Few People Notice. He highlights Sharice Crawford, who is a member of an advisory neighborhood commission in Southeast Washington. And Crawford says she believes more Black girls are getting involved with gangs and being forced into prostitution, which is scary.
Mm-hmm.
Crawford also goes on to say, what we need is a citywide alert about the dangers out here and how parents can protect their children. Residents are very worried. They are wondering if this city is taking this seriously. They say things like, if white girls were disappearing uptown, there would be a state of emergency. It's fucking true.
Yep.
Being Black and run away from Southeast Washington is a lot different from being white and missing it from Georgetown.
Yep.
Well, in the eyes of this backwards ass police department.
Mm-hmm.
So Malloy in the piece goes on to say, when hundreds of girls and boys too are reported missing, we should all be concerned. Is their home life so horrible that they must flee? Has poverty and desperation made them vulnerable to enticements that lure them into the city's burgeoning sex trade? This is frightening stuff. And it's like every day a new child or a handful of children go missing.
Yeah.
It's frightening. And all the police say in response is, well, kids should stay home.
Girl.
Then they won't go missing.
Girl. And it's like other people have been pointing out, well, what if home isn't safe? You know, and also it's that same thing, you know, don't wear hoodies, you know, pull your pants up and, you know, don't, you know, do this or that, you know, don't go walking outside because, you know, I mean, how do you just tell somebody to not live their life in order to avoid something horrible happening to you?
How are you going to tell somebody to follow something that you wouldn't follow your damn self?
Thank you.
Just a mess.
You know, just like it's so frustrating too, because it's like the only people I saw actually really giving a shit at first were Black women. some black men. I mean, look at that picture. It was a town hall, right? Not too long ago, a couple of days ago. Look at the picture and look at who is in this picture. There is nothing but black people in that picture, and they are overwhelmingly women and girls. Like, and it's like they were saying, white women, y'all showed up in droves in your damn pussy hats and shits, you know, after the election. But where were y'all in D.C. when these people, when these children go missing? Where were y'all then?
In Starbucks. getting a goddamn latte.
Couldn't be bothered to show up, but go look for something that's cis normative and, you know, ableist in nature.
Heteronormative too.
Yeah, and overwhelmingly white. Y'all will come for that shit. And it's like I was saying, they don't want to care about these girls. That's why they're saying, you know, they're runaways, because you want to put that label on them. That's a respectability code, calling them runaways. Because you're trying to put the onus on them for being, you know, not worthy of being protected if they ran out on their own, not even really considering what made them run away in the first place. Like, okay, so if they ran away, why should we be concerned? Well, because something made them run away. That's why you should be concerned. And so, like, you need to care about, you need to care just about as much as them as you would, you know, like you said, the, you know, the white girls from Georgetown or wherever, you know, they're from.
They're part of your constituency.
Yes.
They're part of your fucking job. Even if you don't care, do your fucking job.
And I mean it.
Do your fucking job. Find these girls. That's it.
I don't care who they are. They don't deserve this to happen to them. They don't. Even if they ran away, they don't deserve whatever happened to make them run away.
Do your fucking job.
Yeah.
Find them.
Basically. Wanted to mention, there's also posts going around Tumblr that looking at showing, you know, how some of these girls are actually lured. And they see, you know, you see these yard signs, or you see these signs on, like, trees and telephone poles and stuff that'll just have, you know, maybe a phone number, like, you know, want some extra cash, and, like, maybe put a huge dollar sign or something on it. And in some cases, you'll see, you know, call, and it'll usually be a woman's name, because we'll usually trust women. And sometimes also you'll see an age range, like maybe 14 to 18 and all of that. You say those are big red flags. So you see something like that. That's a way that they're trying to get these girls into sex trafficking. So, like, you see signs like that and all of that. Tear those down. Take them away. Because they're trying to lure young girls and maybe young boys too, to get into these rings and stuff. So
that's so sick. Why are you doing this to children? Why are you targeting children? What's wrong with you?
You're targeting marginalized children at that. Because, I mean, you're a poor child, you know, wherever you are, and you see something like, I can make $500 a week. Who wouldn't want to answer that? Hell, I'd answer that today.
And I mean, and the thing is, if you're 14, 16, 18.
You're not thinking
you don't have
that.
The life you don't have the life experience or the critical thinking that somebody my age hopefully has.
Yeah.
They're targeting them because no offense, they are young and dumb.
They're naive. You're still naive at that age. I don't care how hard or how tough your circumstance is. You still have some naivete. You are still a child. Okay? You deserve protections of a child. And yes, even at 16.
And they're actually providing an age range. That is so telling and so gross.
I know.
They're targeting these children because of the naivete, because they're vulnerable, and also because of their color. Nobody is going to miss them until it's probably too late.
Yeah.
Gosh, that is so sick. and it calculated.
Yeah.
And the police department is just helping them because they don't give a fuck.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's what these traffickers are counting on.
Exactly.
Oh, God. So please do your fucking job.
Yes.
Oh, man. Okay. So that's our main topic. And now let's move into some more fuckery with Catch the Fade.
Yay. All right. Okay. So which one do we want to do first?
It's all you, girl. Hit it.
Okay. So I'll start with a small one to just kind of, you know, get away from such heavy shit. Believe it or not, Netflix, I'm giving you a huge fucking side eye right now. Okay. So some of y'all I know, because a lot of people I know, they watched it for, you know, they have podcasts, they're media people or whatever, and some people just had morbid curiosity, but I stayed very fucking far away from your Coachella fist. I'm a rich white dude who so billionaire, so people hate me, whatever the fuck y'all thought y'all were doing. I don't know what it is with Netflix, but y'all really love to fuck over Asian representation. Y'all just do. I mean, in this,
it's not just Netflix.
No, it's not just Netflix, but I'm talking about Netflix right now because it's just a pattern. I mean, go back and look at Marco Polo. I got through half of the first season of that before I was just like, hell no, which was a fucking waste because Marco Polo had one of the most beautiful casts I have ever seen in my life. But y'all wanted to put that shit around the white dude. Now, granted, he is a historical figure, but he was the most boring person and the weakest link in that entire show. And y'all could have had a really good damn thing with Marco Polo. And after that, they still did not learn. Asian people, black people, everybody just told them for months, do not cast a white person as Danny Rand. Because you can make this about an Asian person and still have this whole outsider thing be relevant. And it would have actually been more relevant, you know, to do that than it was to have a white person there. Because everybody who knew Iron Fist, they pointed out that whole thing, the whole canon, you know, basis of it with, you know, Danny Rand being white anyway and, you know, this outsider thing, it was based in this, it was based in a racist trope. You know, it's and it just has these really, I hate to use the word, but it's based in Orientalism and, you know, maybe a bit of a white savior trope in there too. And they tried to tell y'all this. They told y'all from the very beginning. And then we found out about Louis Tan.
He was right there.
Right there.
Tried out for the role and everything.
And then apparently, because people who watched it talked about how amazing he was in his fight scene and the character he plays, apparently that character is drunk in the fight scene and is he's amazing doing that.
It's kind of a an homage to Jackie Chan, Drunken Master.
Yeah, because I mean, thing is, if you're a skilled fighter and another one, you kind of have to know how to make it look convincing that you're not exactly all, you know, coordinated and shit if you're going to be drunk and you're doing a fight scene. And apparently he nailed it. Y'all would not let him play the lead. And from everything I've seen with him, he deserved it because he was just better.
And fine.
Yeah.
But here's my thing on Coachella Fest. Shout out to Clarkeisha and Steph I Will and everybody who came up with that
Coachella Fest.
But you know, people are saying all you had to do was make this one change. It's not just the one change. You cast Louis Tan as Danny Rand. You're going to need people who can write an Asian
American
character.
Thank you.
And judging from what I've read about the way this show was written, the current writers do not have the range. You're going to have to hire people that can do decent, that can design decent fight choreography.
Yes.
You know, the white lead that you did hire only did 15 minutes of practice before filming.
And then they said you can tell when it's like a stunt double and he's not actually doing shit and it's awkward. How can you not be bothered to fucking study martial arts when your character is a fucking martial artist?
Marvel just shat this out and expected everybody to love it. And that's why they have to catch this fade and this L.
Yes.
This is a huge L. Because people tried to tell you Louis Tan was right fucking there.
Yes.
And y'all just said, no, we got this. We got this. You don't got this.
And hire some fucking Asian writers. Hire some Asian directors. Hire some fucking Asian stunt coordinators.
Take the same care that you did, that you took with Luke Cage, and apply that to Iron Fist, to
Thank
an Asian
you.
American Iron Fist.
Thank
That's
you.
All you had to do is learn the lessons from your past successes.
That is just the baffling thing. That is the baffling part. Luke Cage fucking broke Netflix because they took the time to do it right and we got excited about it.
Got the highest ratings of any Netflix Marvel series.
But this is the thing. Do you know how many people wanted to be there for Iron Fist? Do you know how many people wanted this to work? Seriously, it was so easy. You did it before. You did it before. All you had to do was say, okay, we can take, like you said, they was telling them from the beginning, you need to make this about Asian representation. You needed to do this, and they just did not do it.
If you didn't give a shit, you shouldn't have made Iron Fist part of the Defenders.
Exactly.
You pick a different character that you actually give a shit about and would actually be invested in producing good content for.
And the thing is, nobody is mad about anybody, you know, being white in the Defenders or anything like that. Thing is, you have Daredevil. People love Daredevil. You have Jessica Jones. Everybody loves Jessica Jones too. Well, I don't. I've never watched it. I've never watched it. I don't care. I didn't even watch the second season of Daredevil. But anyway, look, nobody is mad about that. But it's like you could have done so much more. You could have took it a step further. You really could have. But
like, I don't give a fuck about Luke Cage and this Iron Fist doing Heroes for Hire now.
Yeah, exactly.
But give me Louis Tan as Danny Rand.
Yeah.
You know, fighting crime with Mike Coulter's Luke Cage.
See,
take
I will repeat
all of my money
I will
and my
repeat
draws.
Repeat watch that girl. That will repeat watch that. Hell, I would just put Netflix on, and every time I'm like, look, y'all need to quit asking me, am I still here? Just keep playing this, okay? Just play it over and over. I'm watching this.
Just wave my drawers in front of the screen.
Exactly.
See this?
Could have. Oh, man. It just. That's the thing. It's not even just about the casting. They said it was very poorly executed. Like, they just didn't give a shit. Like you said, they just thought they could just throw any old trash in front of it, put Marvel's name on it, and we was just going to come. No. And Finn Jones, fuck you, too. I don't even know who the fuck you are. Shut the fuck up, motherfucker.
Oh,
we did this before Trump was elected. Now everybody hates white billionaires. I'm like, we hate you. Shit.
If you would shut up, we could continue hating on the property and this stupid debacle of production in peace. But you got to interject your ass into it, and now you got to get some of this work.
Yeah, and Oh, you ever tell an Asian woman again about representation or what you don't know, I will come for you myself.
And had the nerve to retweet Riz Ahmed's speech in front of Parliament about diversity. And like, he knew what he was talking about.
Ooh.
Like, if you don't get the entire fuck out of my face and off my timeline. Meanwhile, Louis Tan is chilling, shading the fuck.
Yo, Louis Tan. I love him more every day. He is master troller right there.
Yes.
Master troller.
He like, thirst trapping as well.
Look, I got paid for that one episode. Everybody loved me. Fuck all y'all.
I'm about to star in this movie with, I think, a German director named Lexi Alexander.
Yeah.
You know, he's also thirst trapping on his Twitter feed, yep, talking about, you know, glad they didn't take any pictures of me at that new beach.
I'm like, hold up, Louis.
You ain't have to tell me about that. You ain't. Why?
Yeah.
He's so rude.
He is. And you overlook this dude with all this personality and all this charm.
And talent.
Yes. Oh.
For this wet noodle who can't even do fight scenes.
Yeah. And the sad thing about this is they still did not learn after the Iron Fist flopped. Because guess what? Like 2 or 3 days after this whole debacle, they did the promotions for Death Note.
What is Death Note?
Death Note is a very popular anime series. I think it was also a manga from Japan, which means the characters in this show are Japanese. The main character is this guy named Light. Light is supposed to be Japanese. Guess what he is in this new Netflix show?
White?
He white. And oh my God, I'm like, y'all still did not learn. Why are y'all refusing to just learn? This is, like I said, Netflix just loves to fuck over Asian representation.
And, I mean, have you not looked at Hollywood lately? Hidden Figures made more money than your precious La La Land. Moonlight is Best Picture.
And still, like, making money in theaters?
Like, Get Out just made $100 million.
But also,
for a first-time black writer director.
Yeah, but also, Rogue One, Star Wars Rogue One, had multiple Asian characters, had Mexican characters. You know, a white woman was the lead there too. Had some black characters too. Had actually one of the most diverse Star Wars casts. Rogue One opened up number one, and I don't know how much that made worldwide. Will watch people of color. We watch people of color on screen. And what's also, they said black attendance at theaters doubled last year.
Asian Americans watch
more films.
Watch a fuckload of movies.
They watch more films than any other race group. But you don't want to put them on screen.
And don't tell me this is about how people of color translate overseas.
Thank you.
And, oh, they do well overseas, because you use a goddamn lie.
They just put those numbers out.
So, yeah, there's no excuse except for white supremacy being white supremacy.
Ugh. So
there's no excuse. Y'all being willingly obtuse.
Yeah. I think what it is, they really, really just want to own this stuff. they really want to own this property. They want to own, you know, the anime. They want to own, you know, these comics and things like that. They really want their ownership over it. I mean,
then, I mean, if you want it to be American, hire some Asian American. See how that works?
Yeah, or you know what?
It's still American.
Do something different based on, you know, that because, you know, The Departed is based on Infernal Affairs. It's right. But The Departed is a completely different film. But you know what? There's nobody is denying. Nobody tried to take this and say, oh, this is Infernal Affairs. Like, no. It's kind of apparently a shot for shot remake of the trilogy. But they did just make it, they did, you know, make it American, and they made it specific toward, you know, like Boston and stuff like that. But there's also an acknowledgement that this is what it's based on. And it's also like, yeah, you know, we did this, but it's not like saying we're taking this very, you know, Chinese story and just trying to erase everything Chinese about it. Or actually worse, we're not trying to, you know, appropriate everything about, you know, this culture. Because I'm sorry, but this whole thing with Death Note, that just smacks of appropriation to me. Because it's based on, like, these Japanese gods. I forget exactly what type of gods they are, but it is based on that, and that is very essential to the story. And you're trying to erase, you know, that cultural context.
I mean, Ghost in the Shell is a very Japanese story.
Yes.
And now you're trying to, now I hear that the story is revolving around the Japanese character's major's brain being put into this white woman's body.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
Yes, when we first heard about Ghost in the Shell, somebody said that's what was going to happen because that's how they were going to justify using a white person. Somebody called that before it was even filmed.
That's disgusting.
It really
is. That's like a reverse Get Out.
Yeah.
It's like
we want your shit, but we don't want to look at you while we take your shit.
What is that? You like one of the
you like the culture, but you
black
hate
art,
but you like people. Yeah, it's the same thing. Yeah.
This is really disgusting.
It really is. So, yeah, it's not just about you whitewashing and shit like that. This is all that's happening, too. All of this goes into that. So it's not just as simple as, oh, you don't want to look at white people. And it's like, no. Y'all are really just trying to jack our shit and make sure we don't reap any rewards for it. And make sure you want to erase us from it.
You know what? You know what y'all tell us all the time? Make your own.
Yeah.
Bitch, make your motherfucking own culture.
You too. Thank you. That applies to you too.
Stop stealing our shit.
Yeah. But they wouldn't have anything, so. It wouldn't.
I'm not denying. I see no lies.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, make your own shit. Why are you riding mine? Yeah. So, woo. Yeah, we took a little longer on that, but that's ugly. And yeah. How many L's y'all trying to catch, Netflix?
Ugh. And while you at it, y'all motherfuckers are getting rid of Bob's Burgers. What the hell is wrong with y'all? Okay. Girl. Ain't even relevant, but still, I'm mad about that. Okay.
Come for the squeeze, stay for the petty.
I'm very petty. Okay.
So am I. That's why we go together. And, well, Netflix. You can catch the fade. And okay, tell me about this other bitch.
So this white woman named Brianna Talbot claimed she was abducted and raped by three black males in ski masks. Turns out she was lying. Well, she's 18, and turns out she admitted to making up that whole story to, where is she in, what, Texas? Where is she? Austin, Texas, I believe. No, Denison, Texas. And they said that they explained that she lied about the kidnapping and that she's been charged with making a phony report to the police. The police chief, Jay Birch, he said, almost from the beginning, we had doubts about her story as the puzzle pieces just weren't coming together. We were unable to corroborate any of Talbot's allegations that she had been abducted or sexually assaulted. I don't even know if they explained. They don't even explain why she made this report, why the fuck she lied. Said that she had some self-inflicted injuries to herself. Oh, Lord, she was committed to this. So,
why did they never ask why?
I don't know. I have no idea. But, of course, when things like this happen, police start to harass black neighborhoods, black people, and just led for a while for a suspect that didn't even exist. And like, Heffa, you are the reason black men get killed over this stuff.
See, this is what happens when y'all don't teach history right.
No, this is the thing. She knew. I'm convinced she knew. You say a black man did something to you, you know exactly what effect that's going to have. You know exactly what you're doing. So it's like, I don't feel bad for her or anything, but I'm just like,
oh, not at all.
No. And I'm just sitting here like you said, that why didn't anyone ask her why the fuck she did this?
Nobody ever examines whatever kind of fucked up thought patterns lead people to do shit like this. Nobody examines that pathology of whiteness. Nobody examines that ever. Especially not for white women. And I'm sick of it.
And
I don't care if she's 18. I don't care if she was 10. She specifically targeted black men. She didn't target anybody in her neighborhood. Cause I guess then the lie would come out faster. I don't know. Maybe Taylor Swift is her favorite. Because she learned it from somebody.
Yeah.
'17. People still lying on black people.
And it's such a history of this. Because immediately I thought about Susan Smith.
Yeah, and I thought about what's her fucking face? Whatever. The bitch that lied on Emmett Till.
Yeah. Yeah, her too. Hell, I even thought about Charles Stewart.
Oh, fuck this.
Yeah. So, I'm glad you got found out.
Can she get arrested for lying to the police?
Well, she got charged.
She filed a false report.
She got charged with that. But I mean, I wish there could be stronger, c- because I'm sorry, that's kind of like a hate crime. That is a fucking hate crime. Because
you're sicking the police on them.
Yeah.
And too many black people have died at the hands of police over some bullshit. And you're sicking them on us. Like a fucking bulldog. Oh, God. Fuck this bitch. Fuck her.
Probably just end up getting a slap on the wrist because nothing ever happens to them. That's the worst part of all of this.
She gonna try to do that shit again.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, you can catch all the fades. You can catch the hands too.
Yeah. Oh my God. Somebody needs to start asking why.
Yeah.
I know the answer that they give is going to be some bullshit, but they should be forced. They should be forced to make up to they should be forced to question it themselves. Yep. Just ask the question. You scared of an 18-year-old?
I'm saying.
Just fucking ask why. So I can be mad at whatever bullshit comes out of their mouth.
Yeah.
Instead of wondering. At least make them ask themselves the question. All right. Ooh, okay. Yeah. Let's talk about some dick.
Oh, yeah. Excuse me. Okay.
For colored girls, when dragon ain't enough.
Just go look at some beautiful people.
So, yes. Welcome to This Weekend at Print. And right off the bat, I wanted to nominate Mr. Rafael Sadiq. Mm. Is a well-known musician, part of Tony Tone. Has a very good solo career. Classic albums like Instant Vintage, Introducing Ray Ray,
Stone Rollin',
The Way I See It, some great albums. He also does music for WGN's Underground.
Oh.
Because that show is too lit.
Yeah.
Producers to guest stars to executive producers, everything. He's also collaborated with Solange on her acclaimed album A Seat at the Table. His track is what you hear behind Solange's lyrics in Cranes in the Sky. He also worked on the track Weary. He worked on a few tracks on the album. He's also 50 years old.
Wow.
But he looks a smooth 38.
That's a cat daddy right there.
He's the most baby faced cat daddy ever.
He is. He still looks, he just looks so young in the face. He always has. It's like, yeah, somewhere in around the 90s, he stopped aging.
Stopped. He said, fuck this shit. So, just wanted to shout out to him. Because, he's been getting some recognition because of, Solange's work and winning that Grammy for Cranes in the Sky. And, yeah, he's beautiful, and he's gone through a lot in his personal life. He's lost a lot of his brothers and sisters to violence in Oakland. In spite of all that, he continues to make this beautiful music and just be a beautiful looking person. Mm-hmm. So Rafael Sadiq, you are my nominee for This Week in Ad Print. Also, he's like two or three of my tweets, so we practically go together.
Raf, you can find her at D-U-S-D-T.
He knew where to find me. You know.
Call her, Raf.
Yeah, you know, if you want to get in the DMs, you know where to. Anyway, moving.
Okay, so my nominee, oh my God, my Facebook continues to be just a thirst trap to end all thirst traps, because my nominee is a model named Paulo Raldon. I think that's how you pronounce his name. I hope I said it correctly. Anyway, he is a Filipino model. I think he's nationally in Canada, though. But he's was born in 85, around 31, 32. He signed with Boss Models around 2009. He is one of only 5 male models to walk a women's show. That was for Givenchy. He walked a women's show in Givenchy. And I think that was something else. But
Givenchy?
Oh, yeah, it's French, right? Givenchy. I said Givenchy.
Oh, he's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like my he's my newest thirst follower on Instagram. But yeah.
At this corner.
But yeah, he's oh shit, there's nothing recent. Why I can't find anything recent. But anyway, yeah, his IG page. Ooh girl, he is so just dressed to the absolute nines, and sometimes got a cigarette in his hand, but I don't care. He can blow smoke in my face if he wants to, because God damn, he is hot.
I like his
yeah,
nose.
His lips.
Girl. What that mouth do?
We trying to find out, and girl, his wardrobe. He be looking good as fuck in these suits, these fur coats and shit. He's just really tall and lean. I mean, girl.
Hold up. He got a picture with Trevante. What?
Hold up, shit. Wait.
No, that's not Trevante. That's Serge Ibaka. Oh,
still.
My bad. That's too good.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
Carry on.
Okay, I see where you could have.
I saw the smile. Yeah. And I was like, oh shit, that's Trevante. And then
I see. But that's an easy, yeah, because you can't see his whole face in that before you embiggen it. But yeah, so you can check him out on Instagram. His Instagram, though, is Juan Paulo Roldan. And, Lord have mercy. He got that tat.
Okay, I see you at this Kwanzaa celebration. Okay, you trying to be down? I see.
Suddenly, I feel like celebrating Kwanzaa.
I'll give you something to celebrate.
I will explain every 7 property to you in detail. Well, I will. I'd have to learn all of them first, but I will.
You.
But look at him. Look at him.
I'm looking, girl. I am looking.
God damn, he's beautiful. Lord. Okay, but yeah. I think we both got caught up just staring. Yeah, just staring
yes,
at
did,
these
yeah.
bitches. Because, oh my God, he is. Chow.
Ooh. Can't get it.
Damn time. Anytime. Oh, there's one without his shirt. Ooh. I've been looking for that one.
No, there's some more. Keep scrolling.
Oh my gosh. Oh, wait, who is this? He's Kate Burhart. Ooh, they are pretty together. All right. Okay, Paulo. See, this is why I can't be thirst following people, because I won't do anything else if I'm just sitting here staring at all their pictures and things.
Yeah, we do have to finish
yeah.
the podcast.
Okay, let me, okay. What, okay.
Get back.
Okay, where are we? Where are we in the show?
Yep.
But look, I'm lost my place and I'm not focusing because
it was your part. You were talking about okay. Anyway, so that was that. That was This Week in Apparent. It's time for Woman
okay.
is Vocab.
Thank you. Okay, so today's Woman is Vocab word. Today it's politically correct. Politically correct or political correctness is often used disparagingly to describe actions and language used in an effort to show respect and humanity to disadvantaged or marginalized groups in society. While the term has a history that goes back to the late 18th century, its modern origins are socialist and refer to debates between communists and socialists regarding the quote-unquote correct position on political issues during the mid-20th century. However, the term as it is known today derives from the Toni Cade Bambara essay On the Issue of Roles found in the Black Woman anthology. She writes, "But at least the point had been made. Racism and chauvinism are anti-people. And a man cannot be politically correct and a chauvinist too." Politically correct.
Thank you, Enda. Really quick, Black Girl Commandment, find our girls. That's it. Real quick, our contact information is at Black Girl Squee on Twitter. Enda is at Enda's Corner, BNMS. I'm at Dust Daughter, for all of your Raphael Sadiq needs. And, our Tumblr is Black Girl Squee. Our email is blackgirlsquee@gmail.com. You can find us on iTunes at Black Girl Squee. Please rate and review. It's
yes.
free. And
yes.
It will help us a lot. And also it's free. We're also at Simplecast now. That's our new podcast host. We're on Patreon. So, if you got some coins and you want to send them our way, we will
Please.
Help you out with that. Yes, help us continue making more great shows like Black Girl Squee and Ratchet Research and Missives from the Underground. So, until next time.
Bye.
Bye.
I have an appetite. Okay, back to Paul's IG.
No longer blind and being led. The kind of freedom that you can buy, my bank won't lend me yet. But still I get by. So don't judge me by the color of my skin. My blood runs as deep as yours runs red. So you can see it ain't over yet, which takes me out the rack. The choice.